To the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, for our scripture reading this morning. We're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, and reading from the first verse. Deuteronomy 31, reading from verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon, the king of, and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, In the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee that we come to the God who knows the future and who knows all things. And we pray that thou wouldst bless us today as we gather at thy feet. Lord, speak, we pray. Bless thy word. Draw us nigh unto thyself, and help us, O God, as we seek to make much of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. Verse 8 is our motto text for 2012. It says, The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. At this time of the year, I always bring a motto text to prepare the way for the incoming year. And the idea of our motto text is that if possible, we should learn it, that we should write it upon our hearts and take note of it, and it might be an encouragement for us in the days that lie ahead. Every year brings new challenges and new blessings. Every year we'll have things that are good and things that are not so good. Maybe you've had a hard year and you're hoping that the year that is coming, the blessings will outweigh the battles. But the thing is that none of us know what this year will bring, and we don't know what's around the corner. And I'm sure there's that little bit of apprehension about what this year will hold. And in that sense of apprehension, we need a word of comfort and a word of help and a word of encouragement as we seek to go forward. Now, in this text, we have such a word of encouragement. Here are the children of Israel, and they're on the brink of entering into the promised land. And it is a time of transition. Moses was not going to enter into the promised land with them. Moses was going to be left behind. And Joshua was going to be the new leader as they entered into the land of promise. And they knew that there were many difficulties that lay ahead of them. They were going to be tested. They knew that there were going to be many enemies to face. Moses had been leading them now for 40 years through the wilderness, had been the means under God of leading them out of the bondage of Egypt, brought them through the 40 years of wilderness wanderings, and now had brought them again back to the brink of entering into the promised land. And yet Moses was not going to enter. We find that he had
been angry when he had been at that rock. And remember how the water was brought out of the rock, but Moses, God had said, speak unto the rock. And Moses had smitten the rock and had broken the type, because the first time that water had come out of the rock, Moses had smitten the rock. But the rock is Christ. We read that in Corinthians. And Christ is only smitten once. And because of his anger, because he had not done what God had told him to do, God said that he would not enter into the land. There was an old leader who was passing away, and a new leader who was taking over. So this was a time of transition. And in our denomination, we are going through a time of transition. We have coming to the end of our 60th anniversary year, and many of the men who battled in the early days are retiring now. And many of our foundation members have passed to the reward in heaven, those that bore the burden and the heat of the day, and we have come to a time of transition. And we do not know what changes there may be in the year that lies ahead. There are going to be changes that will take place. And maybe not only in our denomination is a time of transition, but in your own life it may be that time of transition. Maybe some of you have got new jobs in the last year. Some of you have lost loved ones in the past year. Some of you are facing illness, and so on and so forth. And it is a time of transition and a time of change for you. There's a challenge that we're facing as we go into the new year. Well, it's always good to have a word from God in such a time. And here is God's word for such a time in the children of Israel. He says, the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee or forsake thee. Neither, he says, fear not, neither be dismayed. And there's something to think about here, and there's something to rejoice in. It may be that as we come to this verse, I don't even need to explain it. Here's something that is plain. Here's something that is encouraging to us even on the very surface. But let's just probe a little bit and let's look at the wonderful thoughts that we have in this text of Scripture. There are three things that I want you to see here in particular. And the first thing I want you to see as we set out in this new year is the preparation of the Lord. It says, "For the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee." In other words, whatever the challenge was that they were going to face, these children of Israel, the Lord had gone before them. The Lord had prepared the way for them. And I want you to see the support that is offered here by the Lord. It speaks here of one who goes before. In old times, when a king made a journey, there were forerunners who went before the king, and it was their job to make sure that all the tracks and the roads were cleared. If there was a boulder in the middle of the road, they would clear the boulder. If there were trees or bushes that were blocking the path, they would clear the trees and the bushes, and they would make sure that every obstacle was cleared. We have the same thought in the pioneer regiments in the army. And the pioneers, they go before they will make the Royal Pioneer Corps. It makes railways for the troops, and brings the supplies to the front, or it constructs bridges, builds jetties for boats to come in. They are the civil engineers of the army. And they will make the way as smooth as possible so that when we're going, we can go as swiftly and as easily as possible. And that's the thought that is here. The Lord going before us, smoothing the way, making the rough places smooth, making the crooked places straight as we go down through this year. And you will notice that the children of Israel here had to face trials as they went into their history. You remember how when they went into the promised land that they sent the spies in, and they could see that there were difficulties ahead. We read in Numbers chapter 13 verses 28 and 29. It says, "Nevertheless the people be strong that dwell in the land, And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So there they were aware of difficulties. There were enemies to be faced. And as we go into this year, there are enemies that we know we will face. Certainly as Christians, we will face the enemies of the world and the flesh and the devil. But there were also enemies that the children of Israel did not know about. Remember how they came after they had won the battle in Jericho, and they went up against Ai, and they went up in their own strength, and they felt that they did not need the Lord because this was a smaller city. And they went up in their own strength, and they had to flee before the people of the town of Ai. And 36 of them were put to death. And these were battles, and this was a difficulty made out of their sin and made out of their waywardness. And they did not know about that, and they could not predict that. And there are trials and dangers that are obvious this year, and there are trials and dangers that may not be so obvious, because they will come out of our sin and out of our waywardness. The devil will be against us this year, and if we're seeking to be faithful to God, we can be certain that there will be difficulties along the course of this year. But not only will there be trials, but there'll be triumphs. There'll be blessings. You think of the triumphs that the children of Israel had to face. We think of the triumph of Jericho when the walls of the city fell flat and they won the battle against the giants, the children of Anak, and they won against the Amorites and the Jebusites and all these great nations that they feared. And there was that sense of apprehension, and they said to themselves, how can we overcome them? Of course, they forgot that the Lord was with them. And the Lord, we pray, will be with us this year. Reverend Foster last week was saying about the need of being able to say that the Lord is with us. And of course, there's a sense in which the Lord is always with his people. But we want that closeness of the Lord's presence with us this year. Because if we have the Lord's presence with us, no matter what the difficulties, and no matter what we face this year, we will be able to overcome. And I want you to see here is a God who is with us, to be with us and to help us and to bring us through and to make a way where there is no way. That God is still with us as we go into this year. There's the support he offers. And there's also the sovereign who works. Moses says that it is the Lord who would go before them. It was one thing to have a pioneer, a forerunner, but you know the earthly human pioneers can feel. They don't know all things about the way. They may be able not to get rid of many of the obstacles. They can make mistakes. They can go the wrong way. But thank God we have a God who knows all things and is able to make a perfect way this year. You know, in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, the prophet declares, speaking in the words of God, God's message, I am God, the Lord says, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. He's the God of perfect knowledge, and he's the God of perfect power. He doesn't only know what this year will hold, but he is able to overcome the difficulties that this year will hold. You know, there are all sorts of advice that people give as we start the year. You read in the papers about 10 steps to a better lifestyle, or 5 steps to a prosperous new year, or so on and so forth. And some of that advice may be good, and some of it may be bad. But thank God that the advice that God gives and the way that God leads is always a right path. We see the sovereign who works. But also look at the satisfaction he gives. Because he was bringing them into a promised land. And you know, it is a picture here of the way that God leads his people. Where is God leading us at the end of the day? Where is 2012 bringing God's people? Well, turn over to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 and verse 20. And you'll read the Lord with this title, the forerunner. And in Hebrews chapter 6, and if you look at verses 19 and 20, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he speaks of this hope. He says that this hope is sure and steadfast. The forerunner has gone before us, and where has he gone? Well, it says, within the veil. Now, what is that speaking of? Well, he refers, of course, the picture is of the veil of the temple, or the veil of the tabernacle. And beyond the veil was the Ark of the Covenant, where the Shekinah glory, the very presence of God, or the representation of the presence of God, dwelt. So he entered there. And we think of how the Lord Jesus, with his own blood, entered into the heavenly holy place, and there obtained victory for us. And it speaks of the victory of the cross. But it also is in heaven, this place. And the forerunner has gone before. And where is he bringing us to? Where is he leading us? He's bringing us to heaven. You know, we think of those words in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. What is he preparing? He's preparing a place for us in heaven. That's where our path is leading. That's where God is bringing us. No matter what obstacles there may be and difficulties that we may face, thank God for every child of God that can say that the Lord has gone before us and he's bringing us to heaven. He's bringing us to glory. That's where he is leading. And that's where this year is leading every child of God. I wonder where this year is leading you. Dear friend, if this year was your last year, and who knows? Who knows what illness may be working in your body? And who knows what accident may be around the corner? Where would you be going? What path are you on? Is there a forerunner that has gone before you, preparing the way that leads you to glory? Is there one who is bringing you to heaven itself? And I want you to see the Lord Jesus is our forerunner. And we see the preparation of the Lord in this text of Scripture. But secondly, I want you to see there is the presence of the Lord in this text of Scripture. Because not only does it say that the Lord has gone before us to prepare the way for us this year, but the Lord, not only does that, the pioneers, the forerunners of ancient times would go before the king and they would prepare the way, but they would not be in the presence of the king. But look at what it says here. Not only have we a forerunner who prepares the way, but we have one who will be with us every step of the way this year if we know the Lord. It says, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. One thing to have somebody to prepare the way for you, but also to have someone to be with you, to be present with you, to accompany you, to hold communion with you as you walk the path of this year. And as we think of the presence of the Lord, I want you to realize that it speaks of force, it speaks of power. He said to the children of Israel that he would help them. He would strengthen them as they face the battles. If you look in verse 3, it says, the Lord, this chapter, it says, the Lord thy God, he will go before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go before thee, as the Lord hath said. So here was someone who's going to be with them, and he was going to help them to destroy their enemies. He was going to be their strength. He would bear them up. Do you remember how, when they went against Jericho, and Joshua was surveying the land as they were facing the mighty walls of this terrific city, and he didn't know how they were going to win, and how they were going to overcome the defences of Jericho. And we read that one came and stood beside him, and Joshua said to him, "Who are you? Are you a friend or a foe?" And the person identified himself, and he said, "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And then we read, "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant?" It was the Lord. It was the Lord that was there to help him. It was the Lord who was going to bring him through. And here he was, and he was apprehensive and fearful, and he didn't know what he was going to do. But here was the Lord, the mighty God of heaven, to be with him. And we need that conscious presence of the powerful God of heaven. It speaks here of force, the presence of God. It also speaks of friendship. It means if the Lord is with us day by day, that he's our friend. If he walks with us, what do? You walk with your friend. You have communion with your friend. I think of Moses in Exodus 33 verse 11. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." And by that we understand that Moses had an extraordinary intimacy with God. We have the privileges of friendship with God. If we walk with him, ye are my friends if ye do, he says, whatsoever I've commanded you. And in actual fact, our relationship with the Lord is closer than face to face, because he dwells in us. He's with us day by day. We can meet the Lord every day. We can meet him every minute. We can meet him everywhere. In the mountain, in the church, in the workplace. Can you imagine here? Here's Moses. What a mighty privilege he had. Can you imagine him waking up in the morning and saying, I couldn't be bothered going along to meet with God today. It's too warm outside. I'm too comfortable in my bed. It's too much bother to go along and meet with God. And yet how many of God's people do that? We have the mighty privilege of the friendship of God, and yet we neglect to go and meet him. 2 Chronicles 13:2 says, "The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." Have you lost the friendship of God? Have you grieved the Spirit? He is your friend if you're saved, but you can lose the consciousness of the friendship of God. Do you draw near to meet with him? Not only does his presence speak of force and friendship, but it speaks of God's favor. Again, we're thinking of Moses in Exodus 33, in the situation where he met with God face to face. And later in the chapter, Moses asks for that he may know the presence of God, that he may see God. He says to the Lord, "If thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence." And God answers the prayer of Moses. And I want you to realize why God answered the prayer of Moses. Because we're told in Exodus 33 and verse 17 exactly why Moses got the answer to the prayer that he had asked, this bold prayer that he might have the presence of God. In Exodus 33 verse 17, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Why did Moses get the answer to the prayer? Because he had found grace in God's sight. Because he had the favor of God. And you notice the thou in the verse. It is singular. There's no mention of the people's sinfulness or the people's repentance. The only reason that God continues to bless and gives Moses the blessing is that he knew him. It was God's favor that Moses had. We need to have the smile of God. We need to have God's favor. We need that God know us in that way this year. That's how we will see souls saved. That's how we'll see. Perhaps the problem is that we haven't had that smile, that favor of God. We need to get back to that place where we have the favor of Almighty God. And here's a man who had a conscious awareness of the presence of God. And that's what God promised here in this text of Scripture here in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. There is the preparation of the Lord. And there's the presence of the Lord. But there's a third thing that I want you to see, and that's the promise of the Lord. He says, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And when you see the faithfulness of God here, here's a God who's not going to fail us. It's a comfort to the people of God that He gives us this assurance that He will not fail us. Over the last number of years, there have been a number of institutions that people relied on. And people thought that they would never fail, but they have. The banks have failed. There used to be the saying, it's as safe as in the bank. Well, we can't say that anymore. Many of the banks have failed. People put their trust in nations. And we have seen over the last number of months that a number of the nations have been brought to the brink of bankruptcy. But while men may fail, the Lord has said He will not fail. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. You remember what the Lord said in Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3? But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. What a foundation. His salvation will not fail. He will not fail as His Redeemer. He's the one who has promised that He has saved to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. He's power to save, and nothing can pluck us out of His hand. His salvation is not going to fail you. Neither will His compassion fail you. Lamentations 3 and 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. He hurts when we hurt. He knows our way, and He has compassion. We have not an high priest which is not able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. His salvation doesn't fail. His compassion doesn't fail. His power doesn't fail. We've seen that. Psalm 73 and 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then His word will not fail. The Bible tells us that the Lord is not a man that He should lie. We're told in 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God. You can claim the promises. David Livingstone, the great pioneer missionary of Africa, put it like this, and I quote, I am unable to go on because I have the word of a perfect gentleman, never known to break a promise, that He would be with me always. And in the midst of the jungles of Africa and all that he faced, Livingstone knew that he had the word of a gentleman who would never fail. We have the faithfulness of God. We have the steadfastness of God. He will not forsake us either. He has promised that He will be with us, and him that cometh unto Him He will in no wise cast out. And thank God for His faithfulness. And look at the assurance here. He says in the midst of this, fear not, neither be dismayed. It's natural to worry. It's natural to have apprehension about the future. But you know the Lord reiterates time and time again to His people, we don't need to fear. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, when thou comest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and the people more than thou, be not afraid of them.
The Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. We don't need to be afraid of the world and all that hurls against us. Verse 3 of the same chapter. And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts be faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Don't be afraid. The Psalm says in Psalm 27 and verse 1, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We don't need a fear. If you fear God, you will fear nothing else. John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides, a Reformed Presbyterian missionary, went out and was a pioneer missionary out there. But John Patton had a godly father, and he learned a lot from his godly father. And his godly father used to be in the habit of going 3 times a day to the secret closet to meet with God. And even as a boy of 6, John Patton said that he noticed the bright countenance of his father. And he said that later in life, that while outside in the world, no one would have understood his father's strength, that he says, we knew as his children that the strength that he had came because he was a man who lived in the presence of God. And you know, later on when Patton went out to the New Hebrides and he faced many situations where he was in danger, the natives came to take his life. And he said that his mind would wander back to those early scenes in his childhood. And he would hear the cries that his father sent up to God. And as he thought about how God answered the prayers of his father, would hurl back every doubt that he had. And he knew that as his father walked with God, that God was with him. And Patton said this about his father. He walked with God. Why may not I? You know, we think of those saints that have gone to their reward. We think of our forefathers, those that stood in the way before us. Many of them, we can say, they walked with God. Well, why may not I? God has promised, as we go into this year, that he will go before us. He will bless us. He will make a way for us. He will prepare the ground for us as we seek to go with him. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. May we walk with that God this year. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need a God to go before you, to be with you, to help you, to take away your fears this year. Come to the God who is able to save. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer.